Jesus tells a story about a farmer who sows some seed. He throws the seed everywhere, and some doesn't go where it's meant to go, and some lands in good soil and it's fruitful. But I'm not a farmer, so what does this have to do with me? Hi and welcome to St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. I'm Stuart and I get to be the minister here. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us from wherever you find yourself today. You can find out more about who we are and what we do at our website at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. You can find out too how you could get involved in what we do. Today I'm joined by Blake and Yvonne. Yvonne will lead our prayers later, but let's listen now as Blake reads for us.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and in 18 to 23. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell in good soil, but produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling in rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling in good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
I don't like the parable of the sower very much. It's too obvious. Someone sows seed and it falls in four different places and four different things happen to the seeds. There's no real work to be done here, is there? And then Jesus goes and tells us what it means. So that doesn't leave much scope for me to impress you all by coming up with something clever, some kind of spin on this. In her book Short Stories by Jesus, Amy Jill Levine writes, Jesus told parables because they serve as keys that can unlock the mysteries we face by helping us to ask the right questions. How to live in community, how to determine what ultimately matters, how to live the life that God wants us to live. They're Jesus' way of teaching. They're remembered to this day, not simply because they are in the Christian canon, but because they continue to provoke, challenge and inspire. As Amy Jill notes, that parables are designed to help us to wonder about some kind of moral or ethical problem. They lead us into considering what we might call mystery, the big questions of life, the ones that don't have straightforward answers, the ones that are never just right or wrong. And the important word in that definition is, I think, the word wonder. Even though parables are designed to help us think and consider and even be disturbed, they don't ever have the right answer. They can't. If they did, then by that very definition, they wouldn't be parables. So parables are often difficult and frustrating stories precisely because they don't give us that one right answer that we so often crave. As a society, we seem to have become very poor at dealing with complex problems, issues, and even dealing with evidence. The internet gives us access to information of all sorts. The problem is that we don't always have the knowledge about a subject required to check the information is correct or valid. If you want evidence, then just find the comments on one of those orders of operations maths questions that pop up in Facebook all the time. People argue about the answer because they don't know what the question's actually asking them. It doesn't matter what you think the answer is, because the order of operations is brackets, order, division, multiplication, addition, subtraction, BOD mass. That's how you do the problem. And that's not a matter of opinion, it's maths. The parables can be a bit like those BOD mass questions in that you need to know how to tackle them or they don't make any sense. But that's where the similarity ends, because with maths there's always a right answer, not with parables. So, What's our order of operations? Where do we start? Well, here's a question to get you going. Is the Bible true? That's a trap. It's a trick question. The answer is yes and no. Let me explain. Sometimes we fall into a trap of treating the word, every word in the Bible, as true. And we do that because we forget to consider what we mean by true. Do we mean true as in factually correct? That every single thing, every story, every sentence is exactly as it happened? Or do we mean true as in not false? Or do we mean true as in contains truth? I say that it's a trap because the Bible contains all different kinds of writing, and we can treat those kinds of literature all in the same way, but we shouldn't. There's history and biography and letters and dreams about the future. Are we going to treat Paul's letter to the Romans in the same way as the Psalms? Of course not. One's a letter that contains Paul's attempt at a gospel and some advice and a character reference. The other one's a songbook. So to ask if they're both true, it's actually a pretty ridiculous question. Songs and poems and parables are very obviously not factual. These kinds of writing never are. That's not how they work. They can be about things that have actually happened or could happen, but they're not factual accounts. That's not their purpose or their intention. In this parable, there was never a farmer who sowed seed. It's a story that Jesus made up and told in a very particular way to help us to discover something important. But here's where it gets confusing. The story has to be truthful or it won't work. We won't believe it if it doesn't sound like something that could happen. That's why parables don't involve mystical creatures or far-off lands. They're not fairy tales. If we don't believe it could happen, or has happened, then we won't take any learning from it. So it is true that Jesus told a story about a farmer who sowed seed. Of course it is. Is a story about a farmer who sowed seed true? Sort of. It's truthful. All the things that happen to the seed are what would happen if a farmer went out and sowed seed. The seed will fall on the path and be eaten by the birds. It will fall on the rocks and sprout quickly and then die because, well, it has shallow roots and the sun is hot, at least some places. The weeds will choke the other plants and the seed that falls in good soil will grow. But the point of the parable isn't about farming and it's not about the seed and it's not even about the ground. These are just things to help us think about something else. That's how a parable works. We're supposed to ask questions of the story. We're supposed to wonder about what it means. And our collective wondering helps us to discover the wisdom woven into the tale. So before we get to Jesus' answer to his own parable, let's do some of that wondering together. What do you think the parable of the sower is about? The usual answer is something like mission. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's about how the good news is received. This parable follows on from Jesus sending out the disciples to spread the good news for the first time on their own. So it's about them and what they'll face and how people will react. The path, the rocky ground, the weeds and the good soil are all places that the message about the kingdom of God will land with people. Some people won't even hear what's said. They're a bit like the path. Nothing penetrates into their ears or into their hearts. The rocky ground, well, those people are initially enthusiastic about everything, but that wears off pretty soon. There's no depth, nowhere for the seed to feed and to grow properly. The weeds are the people around you who don't want you to flourish. People who perhaps have an alternative view or different beliefs. And the good soil's people who hear and the seed grows and they bear fruit in various amounts. Simple. Except, it's not really. Like most parables, it's too straightforward just to read it and to see one meaning and to move on. So the next question is always, what does that mean for me? I think that we identify with the disciples, don't we? We are followers of Jesus, so we're like them. So what if we're the farmer out there sowing seeds, spreading the word, telling people about the kingdom of God? That's the best place to be in the parable, isn't it? This is about how people will react to us telling them about Jesus. But hold on a moment, let's explore the farmer just a little bit closer. The farmer's throwing seed all over the place. And if the seed is the good news, that means that whoever is the farmer is telling everyone they meet this good news. Everyone. even shouting to people across the street that they've never even met before. And just to confuse you further, the sower isn't encouraged to sow more carefully in this parable. So are we the farmer? Are we spreading good news to everyone we meet? And if not, and only you know the answer to that, then perhaps we're not the farmer. And if we're not the farmer, that only leaves a few other options. We could be birds or weeds. Birds that steal the seed. I know we could say that they take it and the seeds could be deposited somewhere else and they might grow there, but in this story it seems pretty clear that the birds just eat the seed. They take the seed away. They steal it. Is that you? Or we could be weeds, thorny and problematic, stifling those who are trying to grow, getting in the way, using up precious resources and not bearing any fruit. Is that you? Are we the path, hard and closed? Things, even the best things, things that could be life-giving and transformative, just bounce off us. Nothing has the chance to get through and to take root. Or are we rocky ground, quick to jump in an idea but not good at sustenance? We're not really in it for the long haul, we're easily distracted. Or are we stuck in the weeds? Are we in with the wrong crowd? Are we surrounded by people who are unhelpful and cynical and only out for themselves? Are we good soil? And before you decide that you're good soil, and you might well be, there's a small caveat. The marker of the good soil is that it bears fruit. Not every plant gives the same amount, but all of them bear fruit. So we need to decide what it means to be fruitful, and then be honest about whether we are or not. One seed creates lots more seeds. Making more disciples is a key theme of Matthew's gospel. That's what Jesus' own disciples are tasked with, and so are we. That's what fruitfulness looks like. Good soil doesn't happen by accident. Someone has to clear the ground. There are rocks at the side because they've been taken and moved off the field. There's a path around the field so that people don't walk over the plants as they grow. The farmer will come and pull out the weeds so that the wheat has the best chance to grow. And when it needs watered, the farmer will do that too. What does that look like for us? Coming to a Sunday service? But what about that daily maintenance? Things like night church or cafe church or Bible study, morning prayer? There's a real danger that we have brilliant soil which we spend all of our time tending. We keep it clear and then we stand around wondering why no seeds want to come here and plant themselves. That's why this is called the parable of the sower, not the parable of the good ground. And so we're left. Left to wonder. Who am I in this story? Who do I want to be in this story? Who does Jesus call us to be in this story?
Planted, let them yield a harvest. When the crops are gathered, let the earth find rest. As the workers labor, they deserve their wages. Let the earth find rest as the Lord pours. as the seeds are planted. Let them yield a harvest. When the crops are gathered, let the earth find rest.
Life-giving God, let your seeds be scattered among us, that through us your kingdom may grow. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to grow the seeds of your compassion and love, so that our lives may be full of the freshness and the goodness that springs from the thanks for this joy your Spirit inspires. Lord, graciously hear us. Help us to see more like Jesus. Give us eyes to see our lives from your perspective. Make us humble and tending to those in need. Help us to show them the light of your love all around them and within them. The hungry, the despairing, the lonely, the homeless. May we champion the concerns of old, the young, the sick, of those unable to cope with life, and ask that your kingdom will grow as we work amongst those whom society has failed. Lord, graciously hear us. Help us to hear more like Jesus. Give us ears to hear through the commotion of our world. Grant us the space to hear your still small voice. Give us strength in the difficulties that we face, especially in this time of global crisis and deep uncertainty. May we work and pray for the renewing of this battered earth and ask that your kingdom will grow in justice, love and peace, fresh in the minds of our leaders. Lord, graciously hear us. Help us to speak more like Jesus. Give us lips to proclaim your message to the world. Words of friendship and comfort. Words of concern and love. Words of joy and peace. Words of challenge provoke a deep response. Words of good news. Words of God. We pray for our church, which is grappling with new ways of speaking your word and sowing seeds. May your Spirit enable us to break down the barriers that separate us from one another, so that we may bring your healing love into the lives of the peoples of our world. Lord, graciously hear us. Help us to understand more like Jesus. We pray for wisdom in our decision making. May our empathy touch the lives of those that we meet, whose priorities are not the same as ours. We pray for those hearts that are stony ground. May they be opened up to you. We pray for those hearts that are rocky ground. May the way be cleared for you. We pray for those hearts that are too burdened. May the snares of their cares be untangled for you. Let your seeds be scattered among us, that through us your kingdom may grow. For all these things we pray, in the words that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
The sower, God, spreads the seed in fertile soil of his creation. We are God's seed. So let God's Spirit feed you this week and beyond. Grow well. Let the earth be full of God's glory. Grow well. Let the earth know God's love. Be blessed by God, known to us as Creator, Source and Sustainer, today and always.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you.